And over the next couple of months, I feel God is wanting me to encourage you in how we actually engage in the heavenly realms and how those things work. And so we're gonna look at it in more detail. But there's an increase in the presence of God. Alice was talking about the Lamb of God. Now, when you come to the Lamb of God and receive salvation and you receive his love, forgiveness, cleansing from the past, that opens you up into situations where you can experience more of the presence of God. And over the last few weeks, there's been quite an increase in the presence of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, another name of God, another name of Jesus. And Becky on Friday night encountered that lion, so much so that she was in a shivering heap afterwards. Because this is, when you look into the eyes of the Lamb, you receive love. When you look into the eyes of the Lion, you receive love, but it comes with something else. When the Lion roars, it comes with authority and power and something way beyond. This morning, I was having vision after vision of that Lion, and God has taken us into encounters with his presence, which is to change us and transform us and lead us on into other things. And the angels are involved in the process. It's like, you know, I'm met quite intensely in an angelic place this morning. And I've got 4 months now worth of stuff to do. For the next 4 months, God had mapped out things I need to do in my own personal life. He can meet with you like that if you encounter him. And in February, when that 4 months finishes, I'm going to be able to enter into a place that I've not entered into before. And I've been waiting to get in that place for a while. Now, God will give you that sort of revelation if you start to encounter him and just open your hearts and meet with him. And he wants to take us deeper. Now, I want to look at this thing of destiny. And we've looked at this a little bit, but I want to go a little bit deeper. Our destiny is written on a scroll. It's a book of our lives, and it was written before the foundation of the world. Comes out of eternity. It's a decree and a commission, and it carries purpose, provision for our destiny within it. We can access it in the heavenlies and within our heart. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything about that destiny is about bringing heaven to earth. It isn't about healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. That's just the basic stuff that all of us should do as disciples of Jesus. This isn't about that stuff. Hence, Jesus could say to people who said, well, we prophesied in your name, we did this and we did that in your name, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, he wasn't saying he didn't know them in terms of salvation, but he was saying he didn't know them in terms of their destiny because they were not fulfilling it. And those things are not the things that we can say, that will fulfill my destiny, unless part of your destiny is a healing ministry or other things. But actually, it's administering heaven to earth. So you have, and all of us are called to rule. To rule is to demonstrate dominion and authority. We need to do that in heaven and bring it to earth. And that is everybody's destiny. And you've all got different things to play in that, but you've all got a sphere of authority that you're supposed to operate in, and God wants us to bring that to earth from heaven. So that destiny, which is in time and eternity, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knew us intimately. And our spirit, before we were formed, he consecrated us, set us apart, and appointed each of us for a purpose. Psalm 139, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. So I had an unformed spiritual substance before I had a formed physical substance. And in your book, scroll, were written all the days that were ordained for me. And then it goes on to say, how vast is the sum of the thoughts that you have for me. And God wants us to know his thoughts for us, about us, who we are, our identity as his children, that we will have an eternal destiny to fulfill in that. Now, what we do in time will determine what we do in eternity. So it's really important what we do in this realm, in this dimension now, because what we will do in the eternal dimension will be determined by it. Jesus really teaches that. So it is really important that we fulfill the role in this time of what God has called us to do. How do we do that? Well, you have to set your heart towards it. If you want to know your destiny, why you're here on this earth, and what you will be doing beyond that into eternity, you have to set your heart, and all your heart. Half-heartedness will not get it done. God wants the whole of our hearts surrendered to Him. We have to desire it, put our desire upon it, and pursue it. Pursue that desire. Because it brings us into a place of intimacy where we can hear and see and feel and experience our destiny. Not just read about it in the Bible, not just sort of think about it in well, what is it? Actually to know it by experience. And we do that in an intimacy of relationship with God. There is a sound frequency of a song of heaven, which is the will of God for eternity, that we need to resonate with, come into agreement with, and then begin to harmonize with. Because our life is to harmonize with the whole pattern of eternity, the song that comes out of heaven. Now, man has a destiny. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. The destiny of mankind is to rule, to bring heaven to earth, and then to bring that into the rest of the universe and beyond. The destiny of the church, universal, if you like, is to rule. Isaiah 2:2, a mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the other mountains. People are going to stream to that mountain of the church when it's operating in its full authority. Psalm 24:7, lift up you heads, O you gates. Talking about that this morning in terms of lifting up authority in the church. All of us has a place of authority in the heavenly realms that we need to be lifted up to. And then we become a gate. Become a gateway to bring heaven to earth, to bring the kingdom that's in heaven to earth. The King of Glory will come in and occupy that space. Zechariah 3:6 talks about the angel of the Lord who was in the presence of God in heaven with Joshua. Joshua was the high priest. And the angel spoke to him and basically told him some things that was a progressive way of entering into the purposes of God. Walk in my ways, perform my laws, you'll govern my house, which is ruling. So that in terms of the rulership of the sphere of authority that I have personally, that maybe also within the church for some people, have charge of my courts, we'll go into courts eventually, and then have free access among those standing here in the very presence of God. So you see there's a progression of entering into the plans and purposes of God. Now, all that stuff operates in the heavenly realms, and that's a sort of a little picture that I've drawn this week. I managed to get a diagram for me and Clayton, which actually explains all that in about that sort of size, which is really good, and I'll bring that at some stage. But we need to enter in. Now, I want to show you how this works, how you actually do this. What does it mean for us? Well, okay, think of it. This is the sphere in which we live, sphere of the earth, okay? There's also the atmosphere of the earth that's around us. Within that atmosphere, there are principalities, rulers, and powers. Then there's the heavenly realms in above that. Think of these as dimensions that are around us, not one, two, three going up, but dimensions that we can access around us. Now, between the two, there are everlasting doors. Between the atmosphere of the earth and the heavenly realms, there's everlasting doors, which were open in the time of Adam and which were closed. That's why the cherubim with the sword stopped access and stopped things coming through that. Okay, so within the heavenly realms, there are thrones, mountains and thrones of authority. As a church, we've got seven of them, and we're looking to see people raised up to occupy those dimensions of rulership in the heavenly realms. Also, you all have thrones in the Kingdom of God arena in the heavenly realms. And you're supposed to rule there, and therefore you're supposed to bring heaven to earth from there. Now, what happens is, in the past, people have been taught that you have to go through the atmosphere of the earth, what used to be known as the second heaven realm, where the principalities and powers are, to get to the heavenly realms. You don't. We have direct access there, because the doors are open, and the kingdom of God is within us. And we can access the kingdom of God here in us and the kingdom of God in the heavenly realm. Now, when we're accessing that in fullness, it then enables us to bring down from that realm the glory of God. And we want to do that into this realm. Now, when you do that, the principalities and powers and the rulers basically get forced out. You just bring your presence and the presence of the light and the glory of God into that realm, and they basically go. They can't stay there. Darkness cannot stay in the presence of light. If you put a candle into a dark room, it is no longer dark. You cannot put more darkness to blot out that candle. It doesn't matter how dark it becomes, there is still light. And the brighter the light, the more the darkness has to go. We need to bring the light of God's glory from the heavens into the earth to bring light. Arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah chapter 60. So when you do that, we then start to fill and occupy that space. Whoever has got influence in the atmosphere of the earth, where it says that the devil is prince of the power of the air, he's only prince of the power of the air because we have not yet taken back that realm. Once we start to occupy that realm, bringing the authority and rulership of God there, the everlasting doors are opened, and through the everlasting doors we start to see revival, what the world would say, what the church revival, basically the manifest presence of God. But all of us have a role to play in fulfilling the call of God for our own lives in that realm. Now, this is another way of looking at it. You've got the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, and then you've got the kingdom of God. The atmosphere is full of those territorial spirits and different things. Now, for us as a church, we have seven mountains, and within each scroll, within each mountain, is a mandate from God. There are thrones upon those mountains, which are for people to rule. There's more than one. It's like you don't just one throne on one mountain. There's more. So I know people here are called to occupy those areas and to manifest God's kingdom, because it's our mandate as a church to do that. So it links to our verse, which is our foundational verse, which is Isaiah 61 or Luke 4:18. So the first mountain is about good news to the poor, about transforming lives, and it's the mountain that we are operating here as a church. Then we've got sight to the blind, freedom to captives, free the oppressed, bringing the favorable year of the Lord. The last two are mountains which I've recently seen, which is to do with the media mountain and enterprise, and I talked about that, I think, on Wednesday. Now, what happens is there are everlasting doors which are associated with those realms of authority. Now, as a church, because I've been occupying that throne on that mountain, and we're raising up others, as you've seen today, to occupy that area, we've seen a measure of the glory of God coming down through those everlasting doors. Hence, we see salvation and healing, we see deliverance, we see the presence of God's kingdom manifested in our midst. We see the angelic operating here, lots of visions, prophetic stuff. Okay, now, ultimately, we want to see all those areas open fully like that, so that we can see God's glory filling this area, transforming our community, the fullness of God's kingdom being manifested. But at the moment, that's not happening. At the moment, literally, we're seeing that. Bits of stuff coming down now and again. Some of the time, when someone brings a prophetic word or comes from that realm of authority, we have a manifestation of the glory of God, but it's not there continually. Sometimes we see miracles, sometimes we see healing, sometimes we see things like that, but not enough. So we have to do something about that. We have to raise up people as lords to operate in authority in those areas. And once we do that, and they start ruling and bringing the keys of the kingdom and using the declarations of authority that we've been given, we will see that happen. So we're going to see full-blown what people would call revival, which won't stop. But there's a whole lot of work to do to get people raised up to be occupying those places, because it's not just a simple thing of, well, I'm going to do it. There are things you have to do there and things you have to learn, but everybody who's called to that realm can do it. That's why we've got a sheet that we need people to fill in, where your hearts are. Okay, that will change the kingdom that's in darkness to the kingdom which is in light, which will change everything around. It's a nice little picture, which I found on the internet, which is like what it's like when the everlasting doors are open and the light comes down and there's a harvest field. And we're going to bring the harvest in because it's all there, already sheathed and ready. And that's the desire of God. Now, think about it in, again from a different perspective. The area of the church is the area of transformation. We've got a mountain of health, which we're going to bring into healing rooms, and we're going to take that into a healing center in the future. We've got the mountain of freedom, which brings people free from every restriction, whether it's addictions or any other things. We've got that authority given to us as a mandate. We've got a mandate to bring harmony, to bring people into their destiny so that they're at one with who they are in God. We've got a mandate to bring blessing, which is to bring a financial blessing and the blessing of prosperity in every area, not just financial, but we're prospering in all things, body, soul, spirit. Media, that's sort of, we'll look at that much more in the future, and the whole thing of enterprise, which is like projects and things that are in people's hearts, things that people have got as visions to develop. You know, entrepreneurial things, creative things, inventions, all sorts of stuff that God has given us a mandate to be able to release and encourage in people. Now, we want to see the glory of God manifested through those things, but the enemy always tries to block it. The first time I saw an everlasting door open when I was in heaven, I actually saw, and God took me and showed me what happens in the atmosphere of the earth to block those everlasting doors open and to block the glory. And for us, there are certain things that the enemy does, and we have to be careful of it. Fear is always the number one thing the enemy uses. So in the area of the church, authority is what the enemy has challenged, and we've overcome that, and we're overcoming it, and we're going to see that completely defeated. In the area of healing, it's unforgiveness. Unforgiveness stops healing. In the area of freedom, it's pride. The reason people don't become free as they should do is usually because of pride, trying to do it in their own strength, not willing to be open and transparent and allowing God to actually get to the real roots of things in people's lives. In the area of harmony, it's judgment, criticism. In the area of blessing, it's materialism, putting our trust in material things rather than trusting God. Now, we have to tackle those things. When we start to tackle them, we're going to see those things opened up. But we have to be careful as a church, because our strengths and the things God has called us to can also be our weaknesses, because the enemy will attack them and try and block it and stop it. The only authority the enemy has is what we give him. So in our lives, what we do will determine the amount of darkness that the enemy can bring us under. In the world, people who are in darkness, veiled, so they cannot see Jesus, are veiled because of the sin in their lives. When that sin is forgiven, actually the veil comes off and the light shines into their hearts. We have a responsibility of metering that out to people, and God will want us to do that. So literally, fear is about unbelief, doubt, lack of trust, about lack of faith. And the enemy will try and get us in unbelief and in doubt. Transformation, the whole thing of authority, health, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, those type of things causes sickness to our body. And we have to be really careful about our attitudes, because our attitudes produce an atmosphere around us which draws good or bad. And we need to be preparing our atmosphere around us so that it will be filled with God and his presence, not anything else. Freedom, pride, deception, dishonesty, secrecy will stop people coming into wholeness and being free from the things that stop them moving into God's presence. Harmony, judgment, gossip, divisiveness, all those things, those are the things that we have to really be careful about. It's blessing, materialism, greed. And all this is about us surrendering our lives and allowing God to purify us, refine us, and bring us into a place of holiness, so that the authority that we are sin gives the enemy is removed. And God has been challenging us, bring us to a place of refinement and purification. That's what we want to see. Open heavens, blessing and a harvest leading to transformation. We're going to raise people up to occupy their place in the heavenly realms. That is what we're going to, our mandate is to do right now, is to encourage people and teach people and minister people into that place. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Literally, Jesus said it's here. So the kingdom of the heavenly realms is that close to us. We can turn into it and receive the source from God, or the kingdom in darkness is that close to us, right around us, and if we turn into that, we receive that as our source. So if we do things in our own strength, where are we turning? Light, darkness. Darkness. All of us has the choice. God has given us free will. Where do we choose to turn into, to be the source of supply for our lives? And God wants us to turn into him because he's got everything we need. Everything to fulfill our destiny is in God's presence and in our relationship with him. But we have to choose to turn daily. It's not something you can do once when you become a Christian. Every day we need to turn into his presence and allow his presence to change us and transform us from the inside out. As we allow him to fill us, it flows out through us. Okay. Intimacy. Revelation 3:20. God is knocking on the door in our life where his presence of his kingdom is, and he's asking us to let him in daily to enjoy him and a relationship with him in which he will lead, guide, direct, and transform us. So dwelling place of God's glory, and the handle of the door is on the inside. It's on our side. So if we want God's presence in our lives, we have to open the door and let him in. He won't force it. We need to cultivate this relationship of intimacy with him. Now the focus is on meeting God to start with, who is dwelling in us, because the kingdom of heaven is in us. Our spirit place in our life is described as a garden. And at some stage I will share the relationship between our spirit, the kingdom, and the garden in our hearts, which we need to engage with. But within our life, there is a watered, a well, a spring and a fountain and rivers. Now we can access our garden because it's inside of us, okay? But then we need to cultivate it. We can access a secret place, some people would call it, on the inside of them, a place of relationship where we meet and fellowship with God. But we have to cultivate it. Isaiah 51:3, indeed the Lord will comfort you, and your wilderness he will make you like Eden, and your desert like the garden of the Lord. A lot of us feel like on the inside it's like a desert, because nothing has grown there, there's been no water there, there's been no life there, and it looks lifeless. You can pour out a whole load of water in a desert, and it is transformed. I was watching a nature program the other week, and it was this desert with nothing there. And then it began to rain, and within a week, the whole thing was completely green, because there were seeds waiting for water. Our garden is waiting for us to water it, so that joy and gladness will be found in us, thanksgiving and the sound of a melody. Lovely description of what our lives should be like. The sound of a melody. That melody joining in with the symphony and the harmony of heaven. Isaiah 58:11. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's a description of what our life should be like. Now, the picture of this, Genesis 1:7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed the man who he had formed. Now a river flowed out of the garden, out of Eden, to water the garden, and from it they divided and became four rivers. Now, this is where at this time heaven and earth were overlapping, and heaven, the earth was in the place of in relationship and connection with the heavenly realms, not separated. So the garden was in Eden. That was the garden of God and represented and was actually the garden of God in the heavenly realms. Then it says he formed another garden, planted it, and the water flowed out of Eden, the garden of God, and watered the garden, which we would call the Garden of Eden, but actually isn't. It's the garden that God made for man, connected by a river, the river of life, to the garden which was in heaven, the garden of God. It's a wonderful place. Now, if you think of it like that way, what happened because of sin, all this stuff got spoiled. But now our lives becomes the garden that is connected to the garden of God by the river of life that's flowing into our lives. So we're connected to the heavenly realms, just as they were then. And from them, the rivers were supposed to come out of the garden, which was in Eden, and water the rest of the earth, bringing the dominion of God to the rest of the earth. And then it would have gone beyond that world, Earth, to the rest of the universe. I think Alan was telling me that last week, Jesus took him by the hand when we were in the meeting and took him out into the stars and showed him around the universe, which was an awesome thing for him. I know I've experienced that once or twice. And I know Alice has, that God shows you things that are in the heavens because we're connected to that now. Ezekiel 28:13 says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God." You see, Eden was the garden of God. And there was another garden planted for us to live in. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden, which was in Eden, and to cultivate it and keep it. So it's always been God's intention that we would cultivate and keep that place of connection with heaven to bring heaven to earth. And we still have that mandate to cultivate that. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. They had a relationship. Adam and Eve walked with God in his garden. Where was the tree of life? In the garden with the God. Where is it now? It's in heaven. Genesis 3:24, as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, he drove man out. And at the east of the garden in Eden, he stationed cherubim with a flaming sword. They didn't have flaming swords in their hand. This was a flaming sword, which is a living creature, one of the angels, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So the tree of life, which was in the garden of God, is still there, and that's in the heavenly realms. So this is what was, the cherubim was to stop Adam accessing that realm. So now we're like that garden, and we've got that river flowing in us. John 4:14. Whoever drinks the water that I will give him, talking about Jesus, shall never thirst. For the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. We have that well in our life. Are we drawing from it, or are we drawing from other things? Because if you need the presence of God and you need to operate in the kingdom of God, you need to draw from that well daily. Draw from the spring and the well of living water. But John 7:37, it didn't stop there. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the river of God's life in us is supposed to flow out from us, touching people around us. Touching people with the presence and power and the kingdom of God. Now, the reality is, does it? It's asking you, does it? Is there a river in you that you're drawing from? And is that river flowing from you to touch other people? Because if it's not touching other people, then it's stagnating. And a stagnant river stinks. Our river needs to be flowing. Flowing from heaven, flowing in through our spirit, flowing out from us to minister to people and the world around us to demonstrate the kingdom of God. That is God's desire. Psalm 2 talks about like this. It says in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does prospers. If you want to prosper in your life, you need to be drawing from the river of life. You need to be drawing from it, not drawing from your own resources. Jeremiah 2 talks about two evils that God has against his people, problems that they were drawing from their own systems. They tried to make their own source of supply and their own source of water, and it says they were broken systems that can hold no water. Our own strength in our own flesh can hold no water. And God wants us to be flowing in water. Ezekiel 47:9 talks about this river, and it says, it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. Wherever we go, with that river flowing from us, is supposed to bring life. Life to those around us. Life to the world. Life to our community. There will be many fish. For those waters, where those waters go, they will become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. That is a description of what our life should be. Bringing the life of God's kingdom wherever we go. We should be overflowing with the presence of God, the love of God, His kingdom manifesting around us. But we need to be flowing. And we need to be connected to heaven for that river to flow. Ezekiel 47:12 says, "But the river on its banks, on one side on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary." It flows from the presence of God. "And their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing." Everything about our life should be fruitful, should be full of healing and health and wholeness to be able to give away to others. Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." We have to be really careful to protect and guard our hearts. Guard what's going on in our hearts. Protect it so that it starts to flow with life. We have to cultivate the garden of our hearts. It doesn't just grow. You have to cultivate it. So you have to plant seeds. Really interesting about this thing that Alice brought about the ear of corn with things you have to plant. We have to plant seeds in our heart if we want them to grow into trees, which will produce fruit and which will produce leaves for healing. Now, what do you plant? Well, you take the encounters you've had with God, you take the victories you had in your life, the revelation God gives you, the testimonies that you've got, and you plant them in your garden so that they grow into trees. Now, it doesn't take a long time to grow them into trees because you can water them from the water of life and you can speak to them. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:8 there about the one who plants and he who waters are one. Each will receive the reward according to his own labor. What we plant there, there will be a reward from that planting if we cultivate the garden in our life, in our heart. We can speak forth and call forth fruit in us. You know, when we're talking about testimonies, we do our testimonies here because we want to release it in the atmosphere. If you have a testimony that's sown into your garden, you can go back and take the fruit of that testimony and relive it and see it multiplied. That's what it's for. That's why we have trees with fruit in our garden, in our heart. Because everything that we've seen as a seed, we can plant and it becomes a tree of that testimony as fruit. Because I don't want to see healing once. I want to see healing over and over and over again. I want to see God's promises over and over again. So when I've experienced something from the hand of God, I can be thankful, rejoicing, plant it in my garden, cause it to be watered, and it will produce fruit that I can go back to over and over again. And I can draw from that on the inside to produce it on the outside of me over and over again. But I have to plant it, and I have to nurture it, and I have to look after my heart. Jesus talked about the sower having soil, and he talked about the heart was the soil. What is our heart like? Hard, so that no seeds can go in. Rocky, so that seeds can't produce, full of weeds that choke out the seed, or good soil that will produce a tree of life on the inside of us that we can draw the fruit from and eat. Now, also you have to tend and keep the garden. Now, that means you have to look after what you put in there. So every time God gives you something as an encounter, particularly in the heavenly realms, he asks you to eat it. So the scrolls that he reveals to you, he asks you to eat it. Diamonds, scepters, all sorts of things, crowns, all sorts of things that he will give you in the heavenly realms, you have to eat them. You think, well, that's really strange. How can I eat them? Well, this is what it said in Ezekiel 2:8, "Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving you." Ezekiel was in the heavenly realms in an encounter with God. 3:1, it says, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll." So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll, and he said to me, "Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I'm giving you." Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. That was a heavenly encounter that Ezekiel was having, and it was physical. He experienced it. Everything we have in the heavenly realms, we need to start planting within our garden. We take the things we've received there, we plant them, and we store them, and they begin to be used. We can then draw on them. So if I need an anointing of the Holy Spirit, if I'm praying for someone, I can draw it from within. Sometimes the atmosphere is filled with the anointing and you can minister in it. Sometimes you have to draw the anointing from the inside of you using the testimony of what God has given you and you've done before. You can release that again. So everything that God gives, we need to have in our garden to be able to access and use in our lives. That's why he gives us things. That's a picture of my garden, which I've used Photoshop to collage together. And it's full of things that God's given me. There's a river, there's pools, a waterfall, there's a door into the heavens, there's a green pasture with a big tablecloth that I can go and eat from, there's trees, all sorts of stuff in there. There's a yoke. I yoke myself to Jesus daily. All those things God has given me by revelation in the heavenly realms, and I've planted them in there. The latest thing I found to put in there was mountains. A couple of weeks ago, I was in an encounter with God, and I saw all these mountains, and it was like, ooh, I didn't know there was mountains in there. And God said, well, that's the mountains that represent the things in the kingdom of God, which are now in your garden. I was like, whoa. So I needed to find a picture, because there was no snow on these mountains, so I needed to find a picture to put it in there. But you can develop your own garden of your own heart, so that you have things in there which are precious to you, that God has given you, which enable you to draw on those things in the future. So we have to cultivate that relationship with God in the inside. Now, some of you think, I just don't know how to do that. Well, that's what we're going to teach you to do. It's no different than accessing God anywhere else. If you can feel God's presence in a meeting with worship, then you can feel God's presence on the inside when you're in worship in your own life. We can learn. You see, we train our senses by practice. So you think, well, I can't have visions and things. You know, Alan, who was taken around the universe by the hand of Jesus last week, a few years ago, said, I can't see anything when we did a prophetic boot camp. That's what he said. Can't see anything. As we were looking to see about words and knowledge and pictures, can't see a thing. Now, he sees Jesus walking here. He sees the angels. His spiritual eyes have been trained to see in the spiritual realm. All of us can learn to see. We learn to see in the natural realm by practice. So as a little baby, you learn to see. You are learning to see your spatial awareness, because actually, although you're sitting out there, I don't see you out there. I see you on the back of the retina in my brain, my eye, upside down, and my brain converts that information to show me you're sat out there. I learned as a child spatial awareness, distance, space, to be able to perceive spiritually. Most of us lost the ability to see spiritual things when we were little, as children. You could see it, but you lost it. Now we need to get back that amnesia so we can start to train our senses to see spiritual things as well as physical things. It's exactly the same process. You learn to see as a baby in the spiritual things so that you learn your spirit is trained to have its senses trained to see and engage with spiritual things, with angels, with the Holy Spirit, with the lions that are around, all that sort of stuff. You can train your spirit through practice. And so over the next couple of months, we're going to enter into training and practicing and entering in so that we can see our spirits engaging God, and all of you will be able to do it. Because all of you have got an imagination. All close your eyes right now and imagine your front door, where you live. Now, most of you will probably be able to imagine it one way or another. Therefore, you've all got an imagination. That's the screen in which God projects things like vision and experiences so we can see what our garden's like, so we can see what the heavenly realms are like. That's how God does it. He uses the screen of our imagination. We can also use the screen of our imagination to open up the Word of God and see it, so we can use the Word as an access into those realms. And we'll be learning how to do that over the next couple of months. So I want to just pray, and I want to surrender this time in the next few months to God, and I want to encourage you to open up your hearts, be willing to be trained so that your senses can discern the things of the Spirit. Father, I just want to release your Word, release the revelation of your Word, that the garden in our hearts will be open, that all of us will be able to open the door in our hearts and allow you to fill us, become Lord, and that you will change us and transform us from the inside out, that we will learn to be able to see in the realm of the Spirit from the inside out, as well as see naturally from the outside in. And I just release that prophetic word as a testimony for what's happened in my life and in the lives of people here into this room, to declare that everyone here will be able to see in the realm of the Spirit, engage in the heavenly realms, learn to engage in intimacy on the inside to fulfill their destiny and to see what's on that scroll that's been written before the foundation of the world. And I call forth people's destinies here to fulfill that purpose of God for their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.